Morning, and we are in the book of Thessalonians, chapter 3. If I've done this before in all the years of teaching, I don't recall it. I won't say I've never done it. I don't recall it. I've never brought a newspaper into my class that I recall, but I had to bring this because I've been talking about it, and you probably saw it. And y'all pray for me. I'm struggling this morning. Says the AP interview. Pope says homosexuality not a crime. And it says. Francis, that's the Pope, acknowledged that Catholic bishops in some parts of the world support laws that criminalize homosexuality or discriminate against LGBTQ, and he himself referred to the issue in terms of sin. So he's equating crime and sin, but he sort of wants to sort of talk down and water down the sin part. And so he goes through there and he makes his argument. And then he comes over and he finishes it by saying this. Declaring such laws in which it criminalizes homosexuality. And Francis said the Catholic Church can and should work to put an end to them. It must do this. It must do this, he said. Francis quoted the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I don't know why you quote a catechism, won't we quote the Word of God? But anyway, he quotes the Catechism of the Catholic Church in saying, gay people must be welcomed, respected, and not be marginalized nor discriminated against, and I would say amen. If we have someone of that community come to this church, I would hope that we treat them kindly and not rudely. But he didn't stop there. We are all children of God. And God loves us as we are. Folks, that's a lie right out of hell. God loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. But if you think he likes and loves someone that goes dire against his word, the Pope's going to hell and he's going to take them with him. I'd say that if he's sitting here. Not in an angrily way. Not in an unkind way, but like I said last week, it's time that we become bold. It's time that we say frank things, and it's time that we say sincere things. If you are in that community, you are not saved. You can't be.
That's right.
And the Pope has no business of saying we're all children of God. You are a child of God if you're in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if you're in Christ, you're not in that community. That's how it is. And unless we tell them the truth, folks. Now look, don't get me wrong. It doesn't make any difference if you're in that community or if you're in a heterosexual community. If you're outside Christ, you're lost. That's the thing. And for someone who has such an effect on such a large number of people. Think about how many millions of people listen to the Pope. And for him to say, hey, doesn't matter, we're all children of God. He accepts us just as we are. Well, if that's true, follow what I say very carefully. If that's true, Christ died for nothing. If God accepts us just like we are, Christ died for nothing. But I got news for you. Christ didn't die for nothing. He died to save sinners. As Paul said, of whom I, and I'll say right along with him, am chief. Don't fall for that. I'm going to read something to you this morning out of here. Because it goes along with the third chapter of Thessalonians. It's a chapter that you're all familiar with. When I go there, I know you will be. So if you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. This know also. Now remember, we've been talking about that word, haven't we? Where does the knowledge come from? Well, that, but it comes from God. So that the knowledge is the same yesterday, it's the same today, and it'll be the same tomorrow. What you know is not going to change. So when he says, this know, what he's getting ready to tell you is not going to change. In fact, it's going to come to be. He says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now the word perilous means this. It means difficult, troublesome, dangerous, fierce, furious. You know, we just had a terrible tragedy in Memphis. Now, I don't know what triggered those five officers to treat that young man, and he was young, he's 29-year-old, that young man that harshly, that he dies from his injuries. But you could tell they were furious. They were in a rage. I don't know what caused that. I don't know what triggered them. Something triggered them. They didn't get up that morning and say, I think I'll go and beat somebody to death. That doesn't make it right. Don't get me wrong. I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying it's the day we live in, folks. All you got to do is watch the news. My goodness, shit, some streets you can't walk down. It's a troublesome time, isn't it? Well, it's not going to get better, and no government's going to make it better, so don't try to vote one in. Because this says, know this. It's going to get tough. Well, who's he writing to here? He's writing to Timothy. He's writing to Timothy, his fellow laborer, a minister, a pastor. And he's saying, Timothy, know this. Why? So if you know this, you'll have passion about what you preach, the gospel. Don't worry about getting it worse and worse. Worry about getting right with God. And then it won't matter that it gets worse and worse. So he says, know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. If you don't see that, you're not looking. Covetous. All about what they can attain. Boasters. Proud. But I want you to notice something. I read over it and no one caught me. The way that second verse there starts out is this. For men, you're following me, aren't you?
For men will be.
Well, I'll come over here. You're the only one that's going to help me. For men shall be. This is not saying how they act. This is saying who they are. It doesn't say they're going to be prideful. It says they're proud. That's who they are. What that's saying is, in the last days, folks, the majority of people are going to be contrary to the children of God. Opposite the children of God. This is who they are. This is who they've chosen. This is who they are. And they try to make God's word fit who they are. Well, it don't. And it won't. That's why he says, know this, Know it today. Know it tomorrow. You knew it yesterday. It's not going to change. God's not going to change. And we can't change who God is either. And we can't change His Word, folks. We can't try to make it seem soft. It's not soft. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. But a sword. I didn't come so everybody be at peace with each other. I come to bring a sword. Which means, Lynn, if you're in Christ, you're contrary to who He's talking about. You're not at peace with them. You can't be at peace with them. I'll show you that in just a second. I'll show it to you. I mean, it says it right in here. And then he goes on to say, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. If you can't see that, folks, you're not looking. I mean, a six-year-old takes a gun to school and shoots the teacher. I don't blame the administrators, though they dropped the ball terribly. Where's the parents? I mean, what parent don't check the backpack of a six-year-old? Do you think a six-year-old's going to take school everything he needs that day for school? Well, I know his mind ain't on all that. You check the bag to say, now, honey, let's make sure you've got your pencils and your paper. Listen, I didn't have a backpack, and my mother made sure I went out the door with my books if I brought them home. And notice I said if I brought them home. It's a terrible time, folks. And I don't say that to dishearten us. I say that to encourage us. I say that so that we'll begin to be bold. You have to stand up to this with boldness. With frankness. With passion. Without natural affection. I started to bring you another article in the paper, but I didn't. I didn't want to get carried away. I think it was in today's paper, if I'm not mistaken. Under the living section. I don't read the paper. My wife will tell you, I don't read the paper. I was just walking by and there it was. I said, my goodness. Now they want an LGBTQ plus farmers association. Now last time I checked, I'm not a farmer. I tried to raise a garden one time. My brother will tell you I did. I borrowed his rototiller. Like tore it up. That thing shook me to death going down through. I was digging up stuff instead of digging between the rows. I didn't have any rows left time I got done. I tried my best to raise a little garden. That's the only time I've ever done it. But what's that got to do with raising produce or whatever farmers raise? I'm going to tell you what. If I ever go to the produce section and see a rainbow on top of the wrapper, you can bet your boots I'm passing by. I don't care how good it looks. I'm not trying to be funny now. You can't see it, you're not looking. I've told you, the Bible says this, as it was in the days of Lot. Well, what was in the days of Lot? Hey, it was to the point to where they wanted to lay with the angels that came down. That's how bad it had got. It had gotten so bad that God said, I got to come down myself and see if it's like I think it is. Now look, I know He said that for us. God didn't need to see it. God already knew how it was. He was telling that to His friend Abraham. Abraham didn't know how bad it was down there. God did. We may not know to the extent of how bad it is right now, folks. God does. And I'm going to tell you something. That's going to bring judgment on this country. If He judged Sodom and Gomorrah, folks, He's going to judge His country. I know, hey look, I know the world wouldn't accept that. I know they wouldn't. Till they will. Anyway, it says, without natural affection. Truce breakers. Nobody wants to be at peace anymore. You know, neighbors used to be at peace all the time. Now they fight all the time. Put up fences between each other so they won't bother each other. False accusers. Incontinent. Which means there's no self-restraint. Nothing's holding them back. Then it says this. Having a form of godliness. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? All this character that I said is who they are, yet they still want to have religion. They still know they have to be right with God. That's why it says having a form of godliness. But a form is all they can have, Jimmy. Because they can't be who they are without denying the power of God. Paul said it this way, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because it's the power of God. See, they want to deny this. But they also want to be right with God. Ask them. Ask them if they would rather go to heaven or hell. I'll guarantee you, not one of them will say, well, I want to go to hell. I saw this program that I watch on Fox, and I won't name it. I don't want to give notoriety. But anyway, had this guest on there who died and went to heaven and came back. First of all, I'd say they're a fool. I mean, what person would go to heaven and want to come back here? But anyway, that was what they were saying, is that they died and went to heaven. And he said, well, tell me about it. Always beautiful. Always beautiful. Well, tell me about it. Always beautiful. Well, you think you'd know more than something's beautiful, wouldn't you, if you went to heaven? And said, and I spoke to God. You know what the guy that was talking to her said? Well, did you ask him if he watched my show? I didn't laugh. I don't mean that, honey. I don't mean that about that. Folks, that's a warped sense of God. God ain't up there watching Fox. God's up there watching this world. And he's not liking what he sees. I'll guarantee you that. And except for his mercy and his love, he'd end it right now. That I'm sure of. But God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the idea you get here. They have a form of godliness. They want to talk about God. And they want to make it so that you can talk about God, but you don't have to talk about your sin. Because like the Pope says, God just accepts us like we are. We're all children of God. You'll be in hell realizing that's not true, if that's your belief. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such, I'm going to put it to you in my vernacular. Don't have a thing to do with them, Jimmy. He says it like this. If you go to their door and they won't listen to you, wipe the dust off, son, turn around and don't come back. You say, but Tom, that's not... Folks, that's how God feels about it. If God feels that way about it, shouldn't we? That doesn't mean I don't love them. That doesn't mean I don't tell them about Christ that'll save them. But I can't have something to do with them. I can't buddy up with them. Because if I do that, they'll think like the Pope. There has to be a difference. That's what he's saying. We have to know this in the last days. It's going to get worse. Does he not say this? Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Folks, they have to know when they come through those doors, there's a difference. I'm going to say this, and I'll say it at the risk of maybe you misunderstanding me. I hope not. I don't want a lost person to come through that door and feel good. I don't want a lost person to come through that door and feel easy. I want them to feel conviction. For of this sort we are they which creep into houses. These people that believe this now and teach this, they creep into houses. Now, ladies, don't misunderstand this. I'll explain it to you so you won't be offended. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. Now, what that means, the word silly there is just simply means gullible. Gullible. And it goes on to explain why they're gullible. And lead captive gullible women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Now, I made me a little note under that to help me understand it, and I hope it'll help you. Here's what I wrote. They are trying to fill the void in their lives and are gullible. In other words, if they sense a void in themselves, and someone comes along and tells them how they can fill that void, they'll be led away. When the truth is this, there's only one thing that will fill a void in a man or a woman. Christ. There's only one person who could span that gulf. That's Christ. You remember when the rich man died and Lazarus died? And Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham in paradise. But the rich man could see Abraham and Lazarus. And he said, oh, Abraham, send Lazarus over here that he may just put a drop of water. Does that sound like a place you want to go? Where all you're wanting is just a drop of water? For I am tormented, he says, in these flames. What did Abraham say to him? Well, he said this. I can't come to you, and you can't come to me. For there is a great gulf. Only one person, folks, spans that gulf. Only one person ever spanned that gulf. And you'll walk across on him, or you won't walk across. In hell, you will lift up your eyes being in torment. I know that's not easy to hear. That's the message, folks. And it says, ever learning, they get wiser. Let me ask you this. I'll just take my time. I'm not going to get to where I want to go anyway. Let me ask you this. Let's see, let me pick me somebody out. I think I'll go over here and talk to Stacy. Stacy? I'm going to make you an offer this morning. I've got this 30-year-old car that I'll give to you. Now, Stacy, I'm going to be up front with you and disclose everything. This 30-year-old car is going to get worse, and it's not going to do anything but give you trouble. But I've also got this brand-new car, Stacy, that'll never give you any trouble. Which one do you want? You have to think about that, honey. I mean, I would have thought the answer would have come quicker than that, wouldn't you, Jimmy? So I'm leaving you. I'm coming over here. Sandy?
Yes, I want the brand new one that'll last forever.
You do?
I do.
Well, did you know that we've got millions, even billions of people that are saying, I'll take that old 30-year-old car. It ain't going to give me nothing but trouble because I think I can
fix it.
You say, Tom, where'd you come up with that? Well, folks, they think they can save this planet.
That's right.
It's older than 30 years old. Mm-hmm. It's cursed. Yeah. It's never going to give anything but trouble.
That's right.
But you know what? They think they can fix it. Mm-hmm. They think they can save it. It's no wonder the Bible calls them fools, folks. And I say that with respect. Listen, if they were sitting in here this morning, I wouldn't be rude to them. But I'm going to tell them the facts. God is saying, listen, I got this old world that's cursed. This old earth ain't going to do nothing but get worse. Or I've got this brand new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Where you'll never be sick. You'll never see a child suffer. You'll never see a wife of 50 years lose her husband. Which you won't. It take a fool, say the old.
That's right.
But folks, they're blinded. They think they can save this old earth.
They do.
Oh, if we'll quit driving cars. If we'll quit eating meat. If we'll all become vegans. No, I'll tell you what. You will die lost. Hungry. You will die lost cold because you wouldn't burn the coal and the oil that God provided to keep you warm. And God's new earth, you won't see. I don't say that. He says that. He says, except you believe in me, you will die lost. And where I go, you cannot come. Your choice. Millions are making choices. That's why that man ought to feel hell right now. God can judge me for saying that. He not only wants to go, he wants to take people with him. Instead of telling them, bless God, here's the truth. God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life, bless God. That's what God did. And when you stand there and spit right in his face and say, nah, now come on. We got our own way. You have to accept us just like we are. We'll see how that works out for you. See if you think you're going to find love when you get there. I bet you find wrath. You say, Tom, how you know that? He says, well, he that believeth not, the wrath of God abides on him. Not going to abide on you, my friend. I'll show it to you. I don't make this stuff up. I get it right out of here. He says this. He goes on, he says, but they shall proceed no further. Well, I guess that's the truth, isn't it? They shall proceed no further for their folly. Look that word up, folks. It means their foolishness. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Well, the fool's going to find out, bless God, there is. Amen. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Because he talked about Jannes and Jambres. You know who Jannes and Jambres is, don't you? Who was that? Well, now let me ask you something. I'll go back here, Kathy. She's talking to me. I'll just go back here. What do you get out of that? What great truth do you get out of that?
About
Jannes. Yeah, about Jannes and Jambres. What great truth do you get out of that?
Well, they were sorcerers. They were trickers.
Yeah, well, what great truth do you get out of it? I'll tell you what you do. I'm going to give you an assignment this week. You go back in the Old Testament, and I'm going to give you, you start in Genesis, and you read every verse you come to. And when you're done, you know what you won't know? Their names. Moses don't mention their names. It's not in there. You say, well, then how in the world would Paul know it? Well, the Bible says that every word in there is breathed by the Holy Spirit. You know who did know their names? You know who was standing there, bless God, when they defied God and put their two snakes out there and thought, well, we'll show you. We'll put two big snakes out there. We'll show you about your snake. What happened? Well, I don't know, but I'll just venture a guess. Their two snakes ain't around no more. So the truth I get from that is now you know this is given by the Holy Spirit. Paul couldn't have possibly known that, folks. He knew the scriptures, but ain't in the scriptures, so he couldn't have known it. You know, but you read these commentators. Oh, I love these commentators. That's what we used to call stuff we dug up. I love it. That's why I don't read them. They're all trying to show how smart they are. Oh, well, I'm sure that Paul had read that in one of the books. What is that? No, the ones that's not in the Bible. Yeah, the Apocrypha. I'm sure he read that somewhere in the book of Enoch. Or something. You know, trying to show where. The simple truth is, the Holy Spirit gave it to Paul. And Paul wrote it down. So we'd know. But not just so we'd know their name, so we'd know their folly. It's folly to think you can stand up to God. It's foolish. Yet, folks, every day, if you pay attention, everybody thinks that they can stand up to God. Oh, they won't come out and say it, but it's how they live. So he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, affliction, which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all. Did you notice something? Come back here. I got me somebody else paying attention. Did you notice something different there? Huh? He didn't deliver them others. Huh? Why did he deliver Paul? What was different with Paul? Huh? What does that mean?
Faith is believing in what God has told you to do. He did.
Well, I'm going to help you out just a little. Here's what faith is, and don't ever forget it. Faith is Christ and His finished work. Without that, faith is meaningless. That's why, you know, well, I'm of the Baptist faith. Well, the Baptist didn't die for you.
No, they didn't.
Well, I'm of the Presbyterian faith. Well, last time I checked, Presbyterian didn't die for you either. See, that's why your faith has to be established in one thing. That's why it's not faith. That's why it says without faith, it is impossible to... Listen, if you don't have His Son, don't think you're going to please Him. Not going to happen. So, I got to hurry. Well, I tell you, if, y'all don't know how happy I am. So he says, yea, and in all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. Look, folks, if you don't want to suffer persecution, don't get right with God. You're going to suffer. That's what he says. But what did he do for Paul? Out of all. What's he going to do for you? I think sometimes we forget this. We read about Paul and we think about, oh man, the Apostle Paul, wow, look how big he is. No, he was shorter than me, probably. He couldn't see very good. I think that was the thorn in his flesh. I don't know. Just my opinion. I'm entitled to it. But folks, he wasn't any different than you or me. He didn't encounter any more anything different than you and I did. He was persecuted because he was bold to preach the gospel. That's what he said. But he don't get his boldness from himself. You won't get your boldness from yourself either. You can't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be bold. No. You wake up saying, oh God, help me. Help me. Help me, Lord, to walk upright before you today. Help me to walk upright before an ungodless world today, or ungodly world today. Help me. Because without him, you can't do it. I can't do it. But this book says this. I can do. And he goes on to say this. But evil men and seducers wax worse. It ain't getting on, folks. Deceiving and being deceived. They're going to go right on telling themselves they're all right until they're not. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. There's that word again. What's that word? You know, it's a simple thing. It's not what you believe. Don't go by what you believe. Go by what you know. Go by what you know. Go by who you know. Paul said it this way. I am persuaded. Look that word up. Sometimes it means thoroughly knowledgeable. Without doubt. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him.
Against that day.
What's that day, honey?
That day that he's.
Oh, I'm going to show it to you. Don't go away. I'll show it to you. So Paul says, hey, it's about who you know will be based on what you know. And he says this, and that from a child thou hast, there's that word again, known the Holy Scriptures. Right here, folks. Listen, his Holy Scriptures was what? And our pastor says it all the time. The Old Testament, I can't remember. It's the Old Testament something revealing the New Testament something. But anyway, it's what he knew was the Old Testament. He's writing the New. And he's finding out that what he knew in the Old Testament, bless God, is true in the New. Ha! All it means is, in the Old Testament, God promised his son would come. In the New Testament, he's come. It's that simple. It's not complicated. That means, just like Noah. Noah found grace. Well, listen, if you get saved, you find grace too. But if you're unsaved, you don't know grace. Don't ever go around and tell people that are lost, well, the grace of God's on you. Don't do that. They don't know grace. There's only one way you'll know grace. For by grace, through faith, through Christ and the finished work of Christ, are you saved. So if you're not saved, you don't know grace. You'll know mercy. It's God's mercy that he spares you till you can get saved if he does. But his grace is what will save you. His favor. His son. We have to know that. We have to distinguish, folks, the difference. Which are able to make thee wise unto. Well, Paul said it in Romans this way. I'm not ashamed of the power of God for it, or the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To all that believe. To the Jew first and also the. So he says, hey, the word of God will save you. If you believe the word of God, it'll save you. You say, well, I thought you said Christ is the one that saves us. Folks, look, if you think you can separate this from Christ, you're badly mistaken. He is the Word. He doesn't just speak the Word. That's God. He's the incarnate of the Word. So he says, through faith, which is in, there it is, Christ Jesus, all Scripture, every word, every A, every and, as our pastor calls mayonnaise. Never have understood that, but it's a good analogy, I suppose. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for instruction in, here's what it says. I'm going to paraphrase it so that you know exactly what it says. Jimmy, the Word will save you. Anthony, the Word will secure you. It'll secure you. You're secure in Christ. You ain't gotta fret one day, one second of your life if you're in Christ. Because it saved you, it's gonna keep you, it secures you. But it does something else. It succors you. S-U-C-C-O-U-R. It comes to your aid. He is an ever-present help in trouble. Little Marty, yesterday morning very early, needed help. I wasn't there, Anthony. Our pastor wasn't there till afterwards. But you know who was there? The same one that saved her. The same one that keeps her was there to give her aid. Just like you, honey. You felt that more than once. That's what that's talking about. That's why I beg with you. That's why I plead with you. Stay in that book. He didn't just give us this to save us. Boy, he gave us to everything we need. And when I get to the third chapter, you're going to see what I'm talking about. That's why I was hoping to cover this and then the third chapter too, but best laid plans of mice and men. That the man of God or the woman of God may be perfect. I'm going to put a word in front of it. Thoroughly perfect. Now, you see, that goes back to two things. In Hebrews, when it talks about perfect, it's a different word. In Hebrews, the word means a full age. Well, that's talking about salvation. When a person is saved, they become a full age. They become of age to inherit. But here, he's saying, look, I've saved you, but now I want you to grow. I want you to grow in the grace and the knowledge. And so I've given you the Scriptures. It's saved you. Now it'll grow you. If you'll just dig in there, if you'll just apply it and apply yourself to it, you will find that everything you ever need, every question you ever have, it's the answer. But if you don't, you're just always going to be drinking milk. There's nothing wrong with milk. Ask little Gideon. Gideon loves milk. But there's going to come a time when if you keep giving Gideon milk, it'll hurt him. The same thing that helped him will hurt him. And the doctor would say, honey, you got to quit giving him milk. You got to give him more solid food. And that's what that's talking about there. And the reason he's talking about it that way, how did this chapter start off? By telling us how they're going to end up. Well, you don't see any of that here for us, do you? He's saying, listen, you're not them. You're not going to experience those fearful, fierce, furious, fearful times. I'm going to deliver you. But I want you to be in this. And then he goes on to say this, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly, I know Jimmy and Lynn don't mind me using them on here on this. But I assure you that when they go to remodel a bathroom, build a house, put in a floor, or whatever it is they do, they will need to be thoroughly equipped. Everything they need will need to be in their truck, or in their toolbox, or on their belt. Otherwise, the job won't get. God is so gracious to us. He gives you the truck. He makes sure that all you need's in the truck. He gives you the toolbox and makes sure everything you need is in the toolbox. And He even gives you the belt. He says, let your loins be girt with the truth. He gives you everything you need, Diane, to get the job done. Isn't He wonderful?
Amen.
Isn't He wonderful? You say, Tom, I thought was in the third chapter of Thessalonians. I taught it just as hard as I could. See you next week.